Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen. It was not the coronavirus. It was actually worse. The year was 1527, and a case of what would later be called the bubonic plague was discovered in Wittenberg, Germany. Martin Luther's home, the place where he had 10 years earlier nailed a copy of his 95 theses to the castle church door. The plague was deadly, typically killing more than a third of those in the communities where it lodged, and so fear understandably swept the town. The University of Wittenberg, the school at which Luther taught, was closed. Sound familiar? Various civic institutions were also shutting down, and those who could leave wondered whether they should flee. Indeed, the elector, comparable to our governor, of this region of Germany urged Luther to flee so that he would be spared this disease and could live and continue guiding the Reformation. In response, Luther instead stayed and wrote a letter to the frightened public called "Whether a Christian Can Flee Deadly Plague." In it, Luther makes three important points that are worth remembering during our own crisis. First, he realizes that people have different tolerances for anxiety and are at different places in their own faith lives. Notably, he doesn't judge others or call anyone out for a lack of faith, but comforts those who are afraid and asks those with stronger faith to encourage those who are struggling. Second, he urges that those who have duties to attend to should stay in place, confident that God is at work through them for the sake of their neighbor. To those who are afraid and have no particular duty, he invites them to make their own decision about whether to flee or stay, assuring them that God understands their fear, is present with them, and will bless their decisions. Third, Luther references Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan. In that story, Jesus says that love of God and love our neighbor are the chief commandments of the Bible. In fact, it seems like Jesus says that ultimately the only way we can truly love God is by loving our neighbor. When a skeptical religious teacher then asks him, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus shares a parable, a short story that essentially says our neighbor is whoever most needs our help. Now, interestingly, there are two words for neighbor in German. The first means the person next door or near to me, and this is the way we usually think of that word. The second, however, means the person in need, and this is the one Luther chooses when he translated this parable into German and throughout his letter about the plague. It is this concept of love of neighbor, in fact, that Luther argued should govern all of our decisions, including how to respond to the threat of a plague, inviting us and urging us always to ask, what is the most loving thing we can do right now? But even if we agree and believe this counsel, we may still realize that that choice, that decision, is not always obvious. Further, we can recognize that people of good conscience and faith can disagree on what is the most loving thing to do. Something that, by the way, I think we might want to keep in mind during this tense political environment. Even recognizing all this, however, we may also wonder, particularly in response to a pandemic virus, whether we really have anything to offer or can make much of a difference. We may, in fact, feel paralyzed by various restrictions being recommended, anxious about all that we don't yet know about this virus, and limited in what we feel we can possibly do. It's in response to just these questions and concerns that I think our scripture reading for today has something vital to offer. As you may remember, we've been reading through the Gospel of John since Advent, and we've come to one of the better-known stories in John's account, the story of the raising of Lazarus. Now, if this were a normal Sunday and we were worshiping in a less anxious moment, I would admit that I would have had a very hard time deciding where to focus. We might, for instance, notice just how painful it must have been for those who loved Lazarus when Jesus decided to delay his departure for 2 days after hearing of Lazarus' illness. In fact, when each of Lazarus' sisters, Mary and Martha, who are also friends of Jesus, first meet Jesus when he finally gets there, they each say, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." There is undeniable reproach in that statement, and heartache, and grief. Sometimes we may feel like God has, if not totally abandoned us, at least delayed responding to us, and that can be very hard. Or we might have noticed that when Jesus addresses Martha's grief by saying, "Your brother will rise again," she responds with what was probably part of a common religious confession, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." I've often wondered whether Martha really meant what she said, or whether she was just mouthing the words that she had learned in a first century version of Sunday school. Because sometimes, even our most sacred and cherished words, prayers, and confessions can ring hollow. We might also have noticed that Jesus doesn't dismiss Martha's words, but takes her seriously and leads her deeper, proclaiming, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." Then Jesus asks her, "Do you believe this?" And in response, Martha makes the great confession of John's gospel, saying, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." Sometimes faith comes at surprising times, and the most difficult circumstances prompt us to words and actions that we didn't even know were possible. Yes, we might have looked at any of these elements of the story, and so many more for that matter, if this was a normal Sunday and if these were less anxious times. But they are not. And so what grabbed my attention this week were the last few words of the story. Let me remind you of where we are. After delaying his visit 2 days, after being reproached by Lazarus' sisters over this delay, after weeping in response to the death of Lazarus and the lack of faith of the bystanders, and after going out to the tomb, Jesus commands that the stone to the grave be rolled away. Martha protests, reminding him that Lazarus has been dead 4 days, and so the stench of death will be overwhelming. Nevertheless, Jesus insists, and after the stone is rolled back, he prays to God and then commands Lazarus to come out, and Lazarus does. It is a miracle, of course, and all those gathered nearby are astounded. But the story is not quite done. As St. John writes, "After Jesus prayed, he cried with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come out!' And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. And then Jesus said to them, 'Unbind him and let him go.'" Unbind him and let him go. Yes, Lazarus has been raised, but the work isn't done yet. Unbind him and let him go. Yes, Jesus has just performed the greatest of the 7 miracles or signs that St. John records, but there is still an important role for the community to play. Unbind him and let him go. Yes, God is the giver of all life, but God invites us to participate in God's ongoing work in the world. Unbind him and let him go. Yes, God is the one who grants healing and salvation, but God involves us in that good work, inviting us to actually finish the miracle God granted. That is our role in this day, and it will be our role in the coming days and weeks and months. Quite honestly, that is always our work, but never more critical, never more important, never more urgent than just now. To trust that God is at work for the good of the people and the world God loves so much, healing, restoring, helping, and giving new life, and that we are called to help, to participate in and even finish the good work God has started. Think about that for just a moment. You get to be part of God's miracles. The miracle of sharing courage when people are afraid. the miracle of remaining calm when the times are anxious, the simple miracle of keeping some physical space that will help prevent the spread of a disease, the miracle of giving generously when resources are so strained. Look, all of these things I know may seem small in the moment, and yet collected together, they are part of God's ongoing work to love, bless, and save the world. They're all ways, that is, by which we participate in and even bring to completion God's miracles. And we are just now, I know, newly and keenly aware of some of the limitations imposed by the virus. We may be acutely mindful on this day that we are not gathering together in person to worship. We may feel the pain of not being able to visit some of our loved ones, particularly if they're in a hospital or nursing home. We may ache that we can't reach out to hug those we love and those around us. And yet God is still at work, inviting us to finish the good work God has started in other ways, and we are more capable of responding than we may yet imagine. Just yesterday, a beloved sister-in-law and a beloved colleague each sent me the same message from a Jewish faith leader in California, whose words helpfully shift our attention from what we can't do to what we can. As Rabbi Yosef Konevsky writes, "Every hand that we don't shake must become a phone call that we place. Every embrace that we avoid must become a verbal expression of warmth and concern. And every inch and every foot that we physically place between ourselves and another must become a thought as to how we might be of help to that other should the need arise." We are not helpless. There is more we can do than we might realize. Why? Because God is still at work, and God has invited us to participate in the miracles and signs of new life and healing that are all around us. Unbind him and let him go. Whether in the first century in response to the death of a loved one, the 16th century in the face of plague, or in the 21st century as we face a pandemic, our call is the same: to care for each other and our neighbor by meeting the need before us with equal measures of courage, confidence, and compassion. Unbind him and let him go. Yes, our call is the same, and so is Jesus' promise to be with us and for us, and to work through us for the sake of all our neighbors. So know this, beloved people of God. We will get through this. We will get through this together. More than that, though, we will also flourish, grow in faith, help those who feel helpless, assist those who are in need, surprise others by our faith and love, respond to the great and urgent needs of our communities, and in all these ways, obey Christ's command to love God by loving our neighbor. And we will do all of this with the help and power and strength of Jesus the Christ, our Savior, our healer, our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.